Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. So glad you're here. But first, we're going to begin with our devotion called Life from Corruption. And the verse is Jonah 2:6. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. Oh, Lord, my God. I'm sure when Jonah came up out of that belly of the whale or fish, whatever it was, he was very grateful. And from this text, we're going to go and talk about vultures. Well, we know about vultures, but they're not the only scavengers among the birds. Gulls are very important in performing that office. You often see them at the city dumps and, of course, all along the coast where they can clean up the garbage as well as dead animals. Gulls are thus of considerable value in preventing the pollution of harbors. Not all gulls are scavengers, however, some feed largely on insects. When the Mormons established their first settlement in Utah, their first crops were lost to millions of black crickets. When the crickets returned the following season, gulls came by the thousands to devour the insects and save the settlers from starvation. A $40,000 monument was erected in Salt Lake City to commemorate the event. And there are many ways that our God in His love has made life on this earth possible in spite of all the sin and corruption that is so common everywhere. Scavengers actually find their life from the corruption around them. Jonah felt that he had found life from the very pit of corruption. He barely escaped death in the bottom of the sea simply by repenting and praying to the God of heaven. Sometimes our lives seem pretty corrupt, but the God who provides the scavengers can salvage you from the world. That same God that rescued Jonah can rescue you too. You know, when you think about it, how marvelous that is. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the blessings of the day. I thank you that in this country we're still allowed to talk about you over the airwaves. I pray for our nation, Lord, and as we come close to certain memorials and patriotic times, I just want to remember those that have given their lives for you. And Lord, I pray for wisdom that as we talk about you, that our mind will connect with you and that it'll be a blessing to those that are listening. Thank you, Lord. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. So I put on there an article about a live experience of a man who was swallowed by a humpback whale, but he was only in the whale for about 30 to 40 seconds. Can you imagine 3 days? Well, we don't know what kind of fish really swallowed Jonah because the Lord says that he prepared a fish. But since we know it could be a humpback whale type of fish, I've put on my Pinterest site, and the call letters are MR Gamblin 2. A cute little whale you can make with toilet paper rolls. You will need blue tempera paint and some construction paper, some googly eyes to really get the cute full effect. Remember, when you're doing these crafts and things, have a way that your children can give or display them in your house. Save those that are appropriate for giving to a local retirement center that they just love to see your kids and receive these little tokens of love. So whatever you do, have fun learning. Remember, learning is all about sharing what you've learned. Well, today in Curriculum Corner, I'm going to talk about one of my very favorite curriculums for homeschoolers. It's called Easy Peasy. They exist to help families homeschool. They're free. They do accept donations. But if you are on a tight budget, this is sure a godsend. They enable families to homeschool who maybe thought you couldn't because of lack of finances, lack of time, or lack of know-how. Others join Easy Peasy because it's easy and fun, and they're confident that their kids are getting a good quality of education. I highly recommend it because of just what resources I've used from it. It's very user-friendly. It's very thorough. And boy, whenever I can, I send them a donation because I really think it's a ministry that they do. Questions parents ask. I had a really good question come in saying, you know, you're always talking about positive reinforcement. Can you share with us what that might look like? Well, positive reinforcement, of course, we want our children to be well-behaved because they want to be well-behaved. And as they start out pretty young, they might, you know, their moral development is young too. They're immature, so they might try to avoid pain. They'll be good to avoid pain. So we tend to give younger children maybe a bop on the behind if they start to run out in the road. You know, we do something that immediately stops their behavior if some harm is going to come to them. And if you're a gentler parent, you will just hover over them so that you can catch them quickly if they start to run out in the road. But that doesn't last for long because kids mature and now their moral development is more mature, and so you can begin to reason with them. Mommy doesn't want you to go out in the road because mommy doesn't want you to get hurt, and you need to stay by mommy. You need to follow the directions first time given. And sometimes with young children, you practice that. So that's a type of positive reinforcement, just saying, go touch the tree. Now come back to mommy. And when they do, you just go, thank you. That was so good. You followed the directions the first time I gave them to you. And just seeing your joy is a wonderful positive reinforcement. But there's other little gimmick things that we've learned in, you know, in the teacher education stuff. I've seen marble jars where every time people were on task for so many minutes, a marble was put in the marble jar. The thing I don't like about that is it actually causes a sound. So you might want to do something like little pom-poms and put them in the jar. They don't make any sound, and the kids enjoy. When the jar is full, then there's going to be some kind of reward. You can use money. My kids just continuously burped and laughed uproariously at the table. And so I put money, like pennies or dimes or quarters. I put money in a money jar for each of them. And every time I had to put up with a burp or letting off air, belching at the table, I just quietly went and got a coin from their jar and put it in my jar. It was no skin off my nose. I didn't care if I didn't give them any money by the end of the week. But guess what? They didn't want to lose that money. So that was a way to positively reinforce the behavior that I wanted to extinguish. Some people use stickers. So they'll start out with so many stickers at the beginning of the day, and then every time they have to address a certain behavior that they're trying to extinguish, they'll go and take one of those stickers. And then whatever's left, the child can put on a sticker sheet. And a sticker sheet can be as simple as an index card folded 8 times, and then you have the little indents of the fold and a sticker in each of that. When that card is filled on both sides, then there will be some type of reward. If you have already gotten your children conditioned that until you get mad at them, they don't move, or until you scream at them, they won't move, this will take a time of undoing, and it will take a lot of willpower on your part not to scream. Every time you scream, every time you lose your temper, you're giving that child the control over you. And that you have to stop. You need to pray about it. It needs to absolutely stop. Tomorrow, the only person you can change is you. But when you change you, you will be so surprised at how your children change. There are many other things you can Google, positive reinforcement. You can just, you can tell me things. For example, today I had a young man who had a big water bottle, and he is in the 11th grade. He flipped that bottle over. You know how the kids like to flip their little water bottles over? But this thing was so heavy, I was afraid it was either going to crack on the desk or break the desk. It's a lot of weight. And so I told him not to do it. And he said, "This is my water bottle." I interpreted that to mean that I couldn't boss him about his water bottle. And so I said, I need to have a conversation with you out in the hall. Now, when I went out, I just asked him, I said, "You know, I'm interpreting that you are being defiant." I did nothing wrong. I did nothing wrong. And I said, "Well, then you're going to have to stay out here until you can figure out what you did wrong and what you will do correctly in the future." And I got him a clipboard and some paper. And of course, these guys are bigger than I am. If push came to shove, they certainly could push me a lot further than I could push them. But through my years of working with young people, I'm not going to get bent out of shape. But I'm certainly not going to allow that kind of defiant behavior. And you need to really study and pray about how you can have total control over your emotions and how you can have some things in place. You know, asking your child to step out of the room so you can have a conversation with them, it is, you might find out that there's something really bothering them, that they are running a fever, that they maybe had a terrible dream. Maybe they're really fearful about something that you've said in a fit of anger. So that can give you a little opportunity to uncover what really is underlying it. I hope this helps. I hope you stay tuned for our conclusion of the interview with Jill and Vicky as they talk about the art of healing, how their art helped them through the loss of their husbands. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Vicky DeMayo. Vicky DeMayo. I'm here with Vicky DeMayo and Jill Zintek. I should be messing up the one and getting the other one right, but oh well.
You're doing great.
You know, they've got me so emotional here that I can't even think straight or see anything.
It gets worse.
I encourage you to go to their website, The Art of Our Healing. And we were talking with Jill about, you know, letting her husband go. And I'm looking at these beautiful pictures, and then the chapter 2 says shattered dreams, and it really it gets your heart here. Okay, so I'm looking at this picture of a kitty cat with green eyes, so cute. Tell me about that.
Well, that's how I felt. It's the widow's brain. You can see that cat's pretty distressed, right? All through my grieving, this cat, this 20 by 20, I would just look at those eyes, and it comforted me in some kind of strange way. But I had gone to see my family doctor, Dr. Paula Dunn, it's really strange. It's Vicky's, she's Vicky's family doctor too. What's the chances of that? But anyway, when I had gone to see her maybe a year or so later, and I really had gone on that journey of grief, and she said, she asked me if she could give me anything, you know, and I said, "Well, you know, what have you taken?" I said, "Well, I'm taking Jesus." I mean, that's basically yeah. been what I've been taking. But she said that when you go through trauma, the chemistry in your brain actually changes. And that really helped me because I had been a businesswoman and I was having trouble writing checks, people, to pay bills. I would stand behind my 83-year-old mama and she was writing the checks. I'm crying. So it's kind of like, and Vicky probably can say this too, when you lose somebody mm-hmm. that's that part mm-hmm. of you, half of you's gone.
Yeah.
And so anyway, that's what the cat picture is about.
Well, and I noticed the story was written by Vicky, but the picture
The story's written. That's Vicky was the one before the Shattered Dreams.
Well, I mean, this story isn't written by Vicky. It says Vicky.
Well, and that was for the other piece.
Right. Okay.
The Shattered Dreams. Yeah, that's Shattered Dreams. So
okay.
We have the picture, and then we write
and
about
then
it.
You and then you write about
the story.
It.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Right.
Well, then let me ask about Shattered Dreams before I finish about the cat. Because, it all fits together.
Right. It sure does. And just on a quick note, I had never done art before. I decided to go to a class and take just a few classes, and the Holy Spirit just really inspired me to start painting, and it really became therapy for me. So initially when I did all this artwork that was just kind of set aside, some of it I sold, some of it I kept in my own home, and then when we collectively did this book, we picked out certain pieces that we wanted to go with these chapters that we wrote. So that has a lot of significance to me. So they weren't painted for this particular story. We pulled the different ones that we wanted. So
that's
kind
cool.
of interesting. Is that cool?
It's cool because you know, God knew.
Right.
And this one goes perfectly with Shattered Dreams.
It's an abstract piece. Right. And it's kind of, you know, when you look at it, it's kind of shattered. It's kind of scattered. It's kind of all over the place.
Yeah, it could be icy.
Right.
It could be...
It's whatever your interpretation is.
Yeah,
right.
However you want to interpret it.
And this is... the reason I chose this particular one was because the Shattered Dreams was... the chapter basically is all about, you know, when you get married for the first time, you know, you think you're going to stay married and life's going to be great and you're going to have your Prince Charming and all is well. And, you know, I ended up being married 17 years and then going through a divorce, which, you know, I really never wanted to begin with. And so you have to navigate through that. And then another storm came. And that's what I see in that are storms.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was married another 17 years and lost my husband. And then came a little bit later a son that I lost. So a lot of great loss for me. And you never expect that to happen. A lot of these things are out of your control. And so that depicts, you know, how life was for me for many, many years. Shattered Dreams. But you read toward the end of that, you can see how Jesus, you know, picks you up. He helps you. He navigates you through the hardest times of your life. I love the scripture that says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're walking, you're still moving forward. And that's why I love the scripture that says a good man's steps are ordered by him, because you're walking, you're not staying in that place. You don't stay in that grief. Grief, and we wrote in our book, didn't we, Jill, that mm-hmm. grief doesn't define us,
right.
That we walk through it and we can be victorious and we can have hope in Jesus, but he's the only one. There is no other answer. And so we lace our book with lots of scriptures that the Holy Spirit has given us.
Yeah,
and it certainly has helped us tremendously.
We didn't even have to look for the scripture. Yeah. It was already
in our heart.
Within us.
Yeah.
You know, so that we say this is God's book.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he took us on this journey.
Right.
Yes, and someone who may be just beginning their walk can easily identify with these images, with the experiences that you've gone through. And so I didn't know if we finished out about the cat. It's a cute cat.
Well, it's just the fact that the cat, I mean, that's how the widow's brain is. I mean, you are scrambled, and that cat's pretty scrambled right there. It's one of my favorite pieces, and I just love its whiskers and different things like that. But those, actually, I painted it upside down, but it freaked people out so much that I had to flip it because they couldn't deal with it. So, but anyway.
Well, a widow's brain, you know, I've heard of COVID brain and now I've heard of widow's brain. So I guess that's an actual thing.
Well, it is for me.
And I think the idea that our brains change when we go through trauma, stress, mm-hmm. loss.
Absolutely.
That is something that we need to accept and say, look, I'm just not going crazy.
Right. Right.
So you write a chapter on the widow's brain. And then I have just enough time here to talk about this, it's a pastoral picture with an old barn in it, and the ominous of the barn lent itself to the idea and title of this chapter, The Wolves Are Coming. Oh.
Well, that one, if I've got just a moment on that.
Sure.
It's for those that don't have a widow's best interest at heart.
Mm.
And, you know, and unfortunately, it will happen. I mean, it could be somebody that's coming into your home to fix your plumbing and charge you double. I mean, you'd think people would be nicer to widows. Honestly, that you might not want to tell them that. But then sometimes it can be just people that there's greed. I speak about one wolf is greed, another nasty wolf is jealousy. Mm-hmm. There's different things that go on, and it is so sad because you're so broken, and that is.
Yes.
So that's why that's the, so I think people can bear witness with that on the Wolves Are Coming.
Mm. And I know we have to end the show because we're running out, but I wanted to talk about the picture of the little eggs and the little bird. So Vicki, yeah. Tell us about that.
That I think that chapter is entitled "His Eye Is on the Sparrow," and I love that. I love. Both of those pieces, actually. One went to Atlanta, and the little bird is in my daughter's home in Washington, D.C. I love that chapter because it really talks about how God, his eye is on the sparrow, and he contrasts, we contrast in the book the thought of God speaking about an eagle and how we're to soar like eagles, and how eagles are so majestic, and how they really can see really everything, kind of like God. He sees mm-hmm. us. He sees us when we rise and when we sit and so forth. And then there's the little sparrow, and I just happen to have this beautiful porch with a neighbor that has all these bird feeders. At first, it just drove me crazy because I was like, oh my gosh, there are all these birds here. But anyway, the sparrow, I really took interest in, you know, learning more about sparrows and how they kind of flit and they hide, and we're kind of the same way. And God started to show me just different things about the eagle and the sparrow, and yet he loves both those birds. And I thought, he does mention a raven in the Bible, but really he talks more about a sparrow in more scripture and the eagle. And it's kind of like, well, which one are you? Are you the sparrow that's kind of hiding and suppressing things and kind of off in the woods and nobody knows really what's going on in your life? Or are you the eagle now that can soar and can be majestic and can be, you know, just
whatever God has for you.
Yeah.
Well, we're only going to get through halfway through the book. And that's because we'd like you to go to the website, theartofourhealing.com, or look for it on Amazon, The Art of Our Healing. It's a beautiful book by Vicki and Jill, and I have...
And it's a coffee table book, so people realize it's a piece of art in itself. I think that's what we should have said. So you can put it on your coffee table,
right,
or you can have it on an easel, or it's the perfect gift to give to somebody that's grieving.
Mm. Yes.
Because people don't know what to do.
Yeah,
that's
and
right.
We've gone on this journey.
And how do you tell, I mean, how do you relate to someone who's gone through such a horrific loss? So this is a way.
Yeah, and something, you know, I've just lost my mom, my sweet mom, 3 weeks ago, so... I'm going through fresh grief once again, and you know what? The same principles, the same Jesus that healed my broken heart when I lost my sweet Ted, he'll be the same one to help me.
Well, see, they've got me all choked up again.
I got myself choked up.
But I hope you've enjoyed this interview as much as I have, and I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.